It's also like a bullet. Your cars, though, you also have to be sort of like macroeconomically bullish about the markets those countries are sold in, because you don't know if we're going to have like flat economies around the world for a decade or something. So your money could just sit there doing nothing for a very long time too.
Oh yeah, definitely. But I think the electric cars paired with AI, just self-driving cars and Amazon, they just want self-driving.
You're saying the bull cases are really, really bullish. That's the thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's all less clear, like between AI and robotics and automation, you know, like how is that going to drive global GDP over the next 5 years versus 10 years? Is it going to take a really long time for those innovations to migrate to our products and our business and like general consumer use cases, or are they going to be a lot slower than we imagine? That's the trick, ultimately.
Yeah. I don't think so. You know, what would be a problem is a problem in reality is if you talk about the consumer cars, if you want to exchange them to electric cars, there's just so much materials that you need to mine. There's a physical limitation to that, right? It's not easy to fade that out. And also the infrastructure that I just mentioned, you know, unless you had a booming economy like China had, you would be able to pull that off in 5 years, but there's no way Europe can pull it. They'd need 15 years or 20 years if they really tried hard. And it's the same probably for the rest of the Western, let's say what we call the Western world countries, right? Just to get the infrastructure done, because it's all not set up for that, right? They're just in the maintenance mode, basically, for the last 50 years. If something broke, they'd exchange it, but there wasn't any population growth and nothing like that, right? So you just had to maintain the existing electricity networks. And now if they want to go like just fade out the fuel cars and go completely electric, you need to double the grid at least, minimum, you know, just to distribute electric energy. So go figure that. That's a lot of copper and fuck, you know.
That takes a lot of time too.
Yeah, you have to dig it into the ground, especially in colder climates. You can't hang these.
Yeah, so you're talking about like a 10-year growth curve still. That takes quite minimum. A long time.
But what would be quite bullish on the short run is actually if Amazon or some delivery companies like this local postal deliveries, if they go completely automatic, you know, it's going to be whoever pulls that off, they're going to just make so much money on the deliveries. They're going to kill the competition. Basically, if FedEx pulls that off, UPS is going to disappear, you know.
They're actually having a tough time. Last week, UPS fired like 12,000 employees. So,
I'm sure everyone's ordering less shit online with inflation, how high it is. Like, people are just probably like reducing their discretionary spending considerably, I would imagine.
Hey, Noob, I've got a question for you, man. So I'm kind of just jumping into this. If you guys have already talked about it, I apologize. With regard to Germany, you know, speaking of the European economy, what's your take on the population deficit coming up here with the, you know, Germans not reproducing at the replacement rate? And also, do you think there's any chance of Germany as a whole changing its stance on nuclear energy?
Oh, two questions. So population growth, yeah, we have a big problem. Thing is, our politicians, they took the altruistic route and basically allowed immigration, like Syrian refugees. We have like, I don't know, 2 million and Africans. And
well, you guys were kind of forced to after World War II. Isn't there some kind of an agreement in place that requires Germany to have a certain number of immigrants each year?
No.
No,
it's like we have we can actually allow people asylum in this country. And what they basically did after 2015 was like when the war in Syria started, they were like, okay, just let them in and let them stay, you know, and just fuck the law. It's basically what our chancellor back then did. So, and it's still the status quo. And they let these people actually get work permits. And after a while, they were just like legal, you know, it's like they gave them the paperwork without having laws in place. And funny thing is there's still no proper laws in place that's regulating the whole thing. Which I think is basically a kind of, to me at least, everyone has his own, let's say, stance on that thing. But I think they just filled up the population gap by this kind of illegal immigration, because they knew we're going to run into so big problems because of that age pyramid shape, right?
So yeah, now but what happens is the like indirectly behind the scenes, it's not any one policy, but what happens is behind the scenes, like the friction against bringing either illegal or otherwise immigrants in goes down because like corporations need the labor and maybe farmers need the labor and whatever. Yes, so like the number of people screaming, don't let them in. The deck
saying let them in, but don't worry, we need them.
You see, I kind of have this theory about the U.S. too. But I, again, it's just not anything like certain, and maybe it's kind of a conspiracy theory, but it's this idea that because we're not
reproducing, it's definitely not, you know, right? There's very few of them that don't work of these refugees, you know. And now even when the war in Ukraine started, we have like a million Ukrainians, right? And there's like in the first year they got like 60% of these refugees job, right? It's like
And remember, it's not that someone sits there in a corner and says, hey, you know what, we don't have enough population growth, and then we're going to make population growth an initiative that we're going to sell to the public.
Well, what happened instead is definitely see the Pentagon, you know, making a very significant note of that, perhaps not
sure, like
a formal plan, but saying, hey,
yeah, Pentagon
and immigration.
And the NSA, too, like, it's become national security issues if your population replacement is not there. So I get all that. But what I'm saying is, like, you don't necessarily see these things play out as an individual policy. You just see it play out at scale. You'll see less and less friction, you know, less and less opposition by, let's say, corporations, by politicians, by farmers, by whoever. And what and construction people and you know, all these companies, if they had too many of these folks coming in, they were causing too much trouble. They would actually make enough of a like big deal about it that like there'd be more and more actual political pushback. But what happens is if there's not as much political pushback and the actual solution to the problem is really difficult, then they, you know, what, so it's almost like, yes, it starts out with a population deficit. It starts out with, you know, all of that. And then inflation, with labor inflation, of course, in the US and Europe. And then it plays out, though, not necessarily in an official capacity, but more like almost like a passive aggressive thing, is my point. Right. It's just allowed to happen.
There's no master plan behind the whole thing. It's just how
exactly.
The whole
thing works out. Yeah. Okay. So perhaps not a master plan, but I can definitely see the cog being initiated in an almost Kissinger-esque kind of way, you know?
Yeah. Like human beings, like generally, like when it comes to governments, are just not smart enough to like handle global, you know, or like, you know, population level events very well. Like, if you've ever like,
it's true.
Go and see how
they're all trying it for years and it's been a massive disaster, right?
No, I mean, just go look at how like governments operate in any government agency anywhere in the world. Like, these are not like giga brains, like, you know, sorting out details about exactly
how Senator Warren.
Yeah, I mean, there's like a majority of these folks are like, you know, midwits at best, and like certainly not like,
yeah. Actually,
you know what I mean?
I'd argue that the only giga brain was probably Henry Kissinger. Not that I in any way agree with his policies, but I mean, if there's
no, there's smart people in think tanks and whatever on both sides of the, you know, all the different political aisles in every country. So there's people that like think about these things, but like, how much does that materialize as a, hey, we as a country need to have more people because we don't have enough population because of, you know, not enough births and all that. But where it's important, though, Noob, is like my question of like, should I stay invested in things like car companies and whatnot? If we have like less population in these countries and there's not sufficient replacement population, or the global population goes down, then what you have is like, you have less possible consumers.
The car companies that actually are really focused on having these automated things, like let's say automated, that make these automated delivery cars or make like semi-public transport cars that you just, it's like an Uber without a driver that you can drive yourself. You know, you have the app and the bloody thing drives to your home and brings you to the next spot and it just fucks off, right?
So you're saying focus on the things that like assume that population goes down and automation is like going to take over. And yeah, this is exactly the type of things that people do, like they start talking like this, like we are, and then next thing you know, automation just takes place because investment drives that.
Yes, because, but it doesn't really matter if population goes down or not. This thing will come one way or the other. So I'm saying,
oh, that's true too.
Look at the car companies that are actually going very strongly in that direction, have investments in place or the right people in place, because that's where the money will go, right? Because if they front run the thing on the technical side.
That's true, but the one big hurdle, you know, that you guys do have, at least in the near and midterm future, is energy, which is the reason for the second question, right?
Oh yeah, so, atomic energy. Yeah, well, I think it's gonna have. Who knows, you know, these idiots here. I can't even argue with the regular people here in Germany, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Oh, yeah, I hear about it from my aunts and uncles all the time, actually. My my parents are fresh off the boat from Baden-Württemberg, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I'm actually an electric engineer, you know, and to me, it's horrible. You know, if you look at the thing from back to front, if you read the paperwork that the government puts out and what they want to do with photovoltaics and where they get the energy from, you know, it's like, it's just, they're such a bunch of morons, you know, and they're really fucked up. The energy prices are so high that the industry is leaving, and now everyone's pissed off here, right? So I think they'll reverse, but let's see how they're gonna reverse. I don't know, you know.
Yeah, the Western world was built by and large on cheap energy. You know, of course, electricity came about, and really, like, the mixture of cheap energy, including electric transmission and, you know, petrochemical based energy sources, indirectly had, like, societal consequences. So, for example, you know, women's liberation happened as a result of cheap energy. Like, people can make all sorts of fantasies about other reasons why that happened, but they're mostly not true. Like, someone has to do the actual physical labor at home and out in the fields and out, like, getting people back and forth from work. And lots of energy allowed us to have the sort of, like, lifestyle that we have now in the world, when you talk about, like, Western lifestyle. So yeah, for all of these sort of things, like electric cars and whatever else to materialize, it has to be consistent energy. So that's, like, the other thing too, from an investment perspective, it's almost like why it makes perfect sense always to have some fraction of your portfolio in energy, because you know for sure that stuff's not going to zero, most likely, like, because yeah, people are going to need energy.
I mean, at least not in the near term future, right? Until we have,
if Armageddon type of thing happens, we have a whole nother set of problems. But
yeah, well, I'm thinking fusion, right? So
yeah, fusion, yeah.
So that's one of the only.
They're working hard on the whole thing around fusion, right?
Yeah, but we've got to be decades away, man. I mean, it's
more like quantum computing. Department of Energy said last time, like the last quarter thing I saw that they talked about, like, commercially viable fusion, like, could be as early as 20 to 25 years, given that the success in, you know, positive ROI fusion that was achieved over the last couple of years. So it's not completely pie in the sky, but, like, the infrastructure needed to build that out is quite substantial. We're talking about, like, not this generation, but next generation's big thing.
Honestly, right? what I've been following for a while are molten salt reactors, and the Chinese, they just put up one, I think it's 200 megawatts, which is kind of decent for a test facility in the middle of nowhere where they have no water, just to make a proof of concept that this can work without any body of water, because that's what you have as a problem right now with nuclear, right? You always need some, whatever, river or near the ocean, and which is a big issue to a lot of locations. And
yeah, because it damages the river too with the hot water.
And what they can do is actually when they use their thorium, which they happen to have a lot because it co-mines with the neodymium and all this shit, what happens to be the case is that you actually can use all our fucking trash and also burn this in these reactors, right? So you can actually reduce the radioactivity on these heavy nuclei that are still, like, the residual from the actual fission that we have no use right now. You can still arp some energy out of that trash and make it less radioactive. I think that's probably the interim solution that what I would bet on, but I don't know any company or any ticket.
No, I've heard that a lot too, and I've heard that as an argument for a decrease in uranium mining demand as well. Do you know anything about the Finnish storage solution for nuclear waste? I'm wondering if that's something that can be replicated in other places. I mean, they put a lot of money into that, but they're outsourcing. Yeah,
basically, they just found a formation of rock that's, like, it's going to be there for the next 50 million years. It's like you have these kind of areas, right, where we don't have this kind of activity geologically.
And they wrap this in like some sort of what, like lead canister or something.
Now there's no water layer or nothing there. What could be polluted? It's just massive. It's just massive rock bed where they actually drill a hole in and they just sink it down there and no one gives a shit. You know, I think it's a pretty solid solution. And it would mean that not every country, like Germany, for example, we don't have these kind of rock formations. Like almost all of Germany is 200 million year old seabed.
But I think they had a solution that was like packaging the actual waste so that you can transport it and then inject it in the ground elsewhere.
Yeah, that's correct. And it didn't involve like a water boric acid solution either for gamma radiation control.
What I'm saying is like there will be nothing happen geologically to that rock formation unless you have a meteorite hitting it right on that spot, right? So it'll remain there. And there's other areas like you have the Canadian Shield that hasn't been moving for like 1.5 billion years or some shit like that, you know. So you have these kind of rock formations that are like they're not going anywhere, you know, they're just there, you know. And I mean, it doesn't make sense to me why no one actually had thought of such a solution earlier. Probably just because it was cheaper dumping it on the ocean floor or whatnot, right? But who knows?
Yeah, well, I mean, we bury it under mountains here out in Nevada. We have a waste storage facility in the Sierra Nevada mountain range. But I have no idea what the fuck the French do. But I mean, just thinking about it, yeah, that whole continental shelf across the not really the North Atlantic, but on either side of the ridge toward the Arctic, so even a portion of Greenland as well. You'd think that, you know, maybe that'd be a good like long-term thought for Canada and Iceland as well if they wanted to, you know, manufacture facilities like that for storage. I'm a huge proponent of nuclear energy, and it's ridiculous to me that we haven't made it easier to utilize it. Everyone gets scared of Fukushima and Three Mile Island and Chernobyl and completely loses all rational thought on that.
I mean, on a worldwide scale, it's just going to be difficult to prevent people from not using coal as an energy source when you don't go nuclear, right, in the Western world, because we make our energy so expensive that industry just will go where it's cheaper and be more competitive, right? Even the Chinese. They just built a new railroad, finished it in like 2020, and go figure. Like this railroad has the capacity of 2% of the annual CO2 global production, right? So they transported that on that one piece of railroad stretch just to make energy. They transport their own coal from the north to the south where they need it instead of importing Australian coal because they got squeezed in 2020 with that U-boat deal.
Yeah.
So it's like a lot of shenanigans, but everyone has coal in there.
Including Germany. You guys have coal too. I remember.
Yeah, for the next 500 years or something.
Old mines in the Black Forest. So.
We can afford to actually not do it, you know, but there's other countries, they will just dig through the shit. Like, there's no tomorrow, right?
Hmm.
Anyway, back to the topic. What's Flint doing?
We're at 1820 now. So up a little bit today. Let's see, like volume dipped off a little bit. There's been no like appreciable change in, like it hasn't pumped enough to trigger a bunch of Google Trends alerts and stuff where people are looking it up or anything. So it's not frothy yet for sure. Ideally what would happen with Link is like no froth happens, meaning like Google Trend searches don't change. Like you don't see anything happening. It just steadily trickles up over the next 3 months back to all-time high. That would be the most bullish scenario, because then you'll have a lot of upside still to come as like newbies start showing up and buying the top or whatever. But it's still quite early. I think we're fine. So I think you can sleep easy at night on the Link position, and then like the downside dip, you know, from here. Probably worst case scenario is like $12 maybe if we drop.
I think if the stock market behaves for the entirety of February, you know, just grinds up slowly, that'll be great.
Then crypto runs probably, yeah. BTC dropped a little bit today, like 1%. It's like 42,500, but you know, doing okay. I think there's still a lot of people in that, like crypto space is very much in disbelief still. Like I think everyone recognizes that a ton of new people haven't shown up. Like, for example, if you look at most of the people in this room right now, like almost everybody's been around a long time. And you don't have a lot of newbies in the space back. And I think you could be hard pressed to call this really a bull market yet without, like, you know, absolute, you know, pandemonium happening. So on the one hand, we're not like frothy. On the other hand, the question is this just like what we've seen so far? Is this some kind of bear market rally and we're going to pull back again? Is on people's mind. On the other hand, you have the stocks doing well. On the other hand, you have like the ETF thing, you know, in the green. So like more potential cash coming in there. So yeah, like I think on the aggregate, I say like, to me, I feel like maybe, I don't know, 70% bullish, 30% bearish, something like that. What do you, Noob? Like, what's your ratio in your head? I'm a little nervous about like retail customers not having any money because of inflation. I don't think pay has kept up at all with like the amount of work people are doing.
I really don't think it matters that much because people don't really have to put a lot of money in there. It's just like if there's flows, then the market makers, or let's say the people that are interested in having more inflows, they will lift the prices because the green candles attract more cash. That's how this whole thing works. So the price really doesn't matter at the end of the day.
Maybe. I don't know. It's not so much the price of the assets. I'm just saying like how much cash do people have to actually spend in stocks and crypto and everything? And you know, is that going to have an effect or not? And it may not. Like maybe we have a giga bull run no matter what, like, or maybe it's a much slower bull run. Like maybe it takes place over several years instead of having a really quick one.
You know, people bought a lot of shit during the pandemic because they were at home, right? It's like all sorts of whatever, you know, it's like,
yeah, that stimulus checks and whatnot. Yeah, that's what everyone claims, at least.
No, but I mean, really, people have a lot of shit already, right? So, and it takes, you know, and nothing new really came out. You know, it's like the recent new whatever things that came out aren't that kind of like interesting. Honestly, you know, it's not like some groundbreaking new tech just came out and everyone wants it. It's like, okay, we had ChatGPT. Yeah, but it's not like it's like a subscription, it's not a particular product, right?
So, yeah, even the AI plays in crypto are all kind of like various semi-AI, like, or quasi-AI infrastructure plays. There's not like anything like a really, really pure AI system of any kind for people to invest in, or any kind of like, you know, like we're not investing in a digital god yet, for example. So I think, you know, and then there's this like real world asset narrative. Is that going to play out much? I don't know. People talk about real world assets for a long time, but what happens is a lot of times the real world asset sort of RWA narrative usually is more narrative and less actual like implementation. You know, like how many companies are actually putting their assets into blockchain in some way. That's very minimal, if anything, right now, I think. So that's, you know, for that to play out could be, what, a decade? I don't even know exactly how long that takes to really functionally be important.
But I think, you know, at least for the spring, I would say until May, I'm pretty bullish. After that, what I'm really worried about how this shit is
going to get the pre-election summer dump or something, or what?
Yeah, no, these shenanigans with Russia and Ukraine, you know, that's... This is just, there's too much weapons over there. You know, they dumped so many weapons there, and it's not going to end well. There's something stupid coming out of there. You know, I don't know what, you know, but it's definitely going to have an effect on the economy, on the stock market. I just don't like it.
Yeah, we certainly don't have like, there's plenty of like hotbeds of like, you know, global war issues going on.
Yeah, you're fucking with Russia, you know. They're not like just some, I don't know, some dictator in some small, it's a different story, you know. I don't know. It just feels like they will use that summer to make some, let's say, or at least shift the or let's say, get a new status quo solidified, put it that way, you know. It doesn't have to be like a major escalation. But even like if Ukraine has to finally give up some areas, it'll be bad for the economy. You know, everyone will be like, oh shit, you know, now it's like that. And sort of, that's what I think. And then probably you have stimulus checks again, and then it'll save the 25 bull run. But I just think the summer could be like really bad, you know. But I'm pretty bullish for the spring. That's my take. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. And then, like, there's the broader context of, like, there's one thing to say that crypto is going to go up. It's another thing to say that your coin is going to go up. And that's another hard thing to sort out here. Because if it feels like it's becoming, like, maybe even more, maybe it's just I'm jaded a little bit because I've been here long enough, but I feel like the number of choices a consumer has when they show up in the crypto space to buy some sort of coin is much more heavily diluted, which means, think about this, you're at work, someone tells you, oh, you should buy some Link, you should buy some Bitcoin, whatever. What are the odds that two people at work are going to tell you to buy the same coin? It's much, much lower. What happened with Dogecoin is it became like hearts and minds. Everybody knew Doge was going up, right? And like, and it was like, that became like the gigapump because like it reached absolute virality. Like everyone and their mother and their brother knew who, what Dogecoin was, and some kind of coin is going up.
Someone ran a story from that stockbroker that ate like $50,000 into Dogecoin and became a millionaire in 2 months or something.
Or something, yeah. But what I'm saying is, like, if you think about the number of coins out there now, I don't feel like a lot of coins have, you know, one is they don't have like a narrative that is going to go absolutely viral. Name one. And then on top of that, I don't see a lot of coins that have, you know, like a use case that is better than the other layer ones out there, right? So like you might like Injective, but then how is it materially that much different from Kujira? You might like Kujira. How is it that much different than, you know, whatever, Arbitrum? So the thing is, like, you're doing all the same things on all the same platforms and the money is flowing into multiple, say, layer ones. So, you know, and then their sub platforms and their dApps and whatever. So you might find like that there are little gems here and there, but the problem with those gems is, here's the thing. Like, let's say you were early Ethereum and you purchased like early Uniswap or something. And like the market cap of that layer one was going to just absolutely send. So now the dApps and things on that layer one are going to send also. Like right now, like if you were to ask me, like, hey, are you buying like various DApp tokens on, you know, all sorts of layer ones? I'm like, no, I'm not. I haven't bought a single one. And the reason is because even if it were to do okay, you know, it's gonna. They're all those things do their pump of some kind and dump off, right? But then, like, as time goes on, how's the attention going to maintain all these various small tokens? And on top of that, if that layer one doesn't get as much cash flows because, you know, there's so many other layer ones, you have two reasons why the dApp may not recover. In which case, are we sure you want to put money into those little microcap dApps and whatever tokens, right?
Yeah, it's probably easier to pump something with a meme effect rather than like on the tokenomics, like before, like on the last bull run, everyone looked at the TVLs from whatever protocol is like, oh, there's so much money in this, right? And it was a metric.
And I mean, look at like Manta Network, MNTA, or MANTA. Like this thing has a market cap of 680 million. It's got a fully diluted valuation already of 2.7 billion. Circulating supplies, like only one quarter of its actual full total supply. And the thing like ran like crazy. Manta's on what? It's on Solana or something, or where's it at? It's, I can't remember. One second. It's on, I can't tell based on looking at this thing where it's from. Let me see. The reason I pulled it up is because it's one of those names. Oh, it's a ZK with modular blockchain on Ethereum. So I guess Manta is like another, it says powered by Celestia, Polygon, Optimism Stack, and Polkadot. So I'm not sure what that means. It's doing all sorts of connectivity. But, you know, it's like it had some narrative, it got popular, whatever. But, you know, again, just one more competitor to a busy L1 space, and then crazy ass FDVs too. Like these are not even remotely fair launched in the sense that someone's going to dump on your ass at some point. In fact, they're probably dumping all the way up because they don't know where the top is either. So it's going to cause like an effect on the tops on this thing. I mean, if you imagine, like, if you're a starter team like this and you have a sizable allocation, you're at 680 million market cap, you're going to start feeling like selling pretty quick. So it wouldn't surprise me that's going to cause that to like not, you know, it's not going to go moon level at this pace.
What do you think, Sefi, after we see the SEC crack down on so many things, right? So wouldn't a lot of people be more, let's say,
worried about this? Yeah, I don't know.
Worried about like going like crazy and afterwards, you know, let's say you do a really good job and you scam a lot of people with this whatever bloody stupid thing that isn't worth anything, right? So to some extent, there's always some marketing in every project involved. In some projects, they're like, oh, we're never going to make it. We're already that far. Let's see how much we can go. And then whatever happens, you know, but there's like, let's say there's not always a good intention there in the first place, but that's what the SEC is for, right? So basically, are these people worried not to, go all crazy on these things because
they're
coming after us, right?
I mean, they have like, if you go onto this particular platform, there seems like a lot of projects on it already, various different, you know, partners and ecosystem things and whatever. I'm not really sure. Like, yeah, I mean, like, yeah, this one, for example, doesn't appear to be some kind of vaporware. On the other hand, it's a securitized system with a high team allocation. So then what does that mean exactly? Are you going to wind up with like dumping pressure at some point? And some of these folks have like, they've incorporated in Dubai and other places where like, you know, it doesn't matter to them. they just build it. But yeah, I don't know how many of these are like residing in Europe or USA anymore. Because it's such a negative environment for that. But yeah, they connected all sorts of stuff to this live on mainnet and testnet. They have all sorts of things. Python network connected.
So it's an EM chain?
It looks like it.
Mm.
Looks like it. It's a ZK gateway to modular ZK dApps. So it's a mixture of like using modularity and something. And again, I might be right curving this too much, like worried about the token supply and the thing actually just moons. Because you know how these things go, but I'm not really sure. But what I guess my point was, there's so many of these things showing up. When you have an infinite number of layer ones you could possibly produce and block space becomes basically worthless. Highly commoditized. Well, what's the benefit of one chain versus the other at that point? It's pretty much the fundamentals. That's it. Like, people want to buy it, so number goes up. They're sure as fuck not buying Manta Network, most of them, because they want to, or any layer one for that matter, because they just want to see the network succeed and it's going to be the future of finance or whatever. Most people are just speculating. So, like, yeah, I mean, these things, like 95% of the market cap is pure speculation. Not to mention that, like, most of these tokens don't have 90% of the exit liquidity doesn't even exist for those market caps anyway. So I don't know. To like detect all of those projects and get in on them sufficiently early enough. If you get in on them too early, the problem is you wind up with high valuations and you get dumped on. If you get in too late, you're like, wait a minute, has the run already over and the value it's already pumped? So it's like, if it pumps, you'll wish you had been in. If it didn't pump, you're like, oh shit, I should have waited. That's always what happens to these things. It's like with these new projects, it's like a 50-50 risk too, by the way, that'll dump after you buy. So it's kind of a fun thing when you put a lot of money into something. But yeah, Link is doing a smooth kind of growth this week. I think I would think that like, within this week, it'll be at like 21. That'll be its first FIB level. And then maybe the next couple of weeks after that, hopefully we get to like around the 32 level this month. And then maybe it's hit all-time high by as early as like May, late May, end of May. Because last time that I was pointing out with Chainlink is last time it was at this level back in 2020, late 2020. You saw a run to $53 within about, I think it was like 4 or 5 months. So it didn't take very long to get to make a big move in the past. Maybe it repeats that, maybe it doesn't. But at least it has narrative and flow, which means that it has the potential versus a lot of other coins. I'm like, I don't know. They're just sort of languishing at this point without a clear, like, there's not a clear story for owning a lot of tokens. Anyway, Decentralized Guru, how's your day? Are you doing meditation or something over there or what?
No, actually, I'm trying to, you know, doing something unique. This time I'm going to launch some new classes. This time I'm going to teach how to pump your token in yoga style, you know?
Yeah, like you just have to do like the right pose, and then maybe yes. If you do the right pose, maybe your token will pump.
Yes, I teach people how to pump your token. Like you can come with me, like lots of shit tokens, and I can pump your token. This type of things I want to do.
Yeah, it seems like a reasonable objective.
It's new, you know, nobody tried it.
Yeah, yoga token pump. Maybe make a new, maybe make a coin yourself. Maybe call the yoga coin. And then pump the shit out of it.
No, I don't know. That idea is not that bad, but you know, the network issue is really problem from my side, and in Himalaya we don't have developers, so that's a problem.
Yeah, well, I mean, have someone send you $1 for gas and go on Injective, and then let just go to the token factory and just produce a token. You just need gas to make it, and then you can make yourself a token, and then you can make a small liquidity pool using that $1 or something, and you can make, you know, it only has $1 worth of liquidity, but you know, you'll have a beautiful yoga token on Injective for yourself.
That's a good idea. I want to try it.
Pretty easy. You'll probably look up how to do it. Then you'll have
What is going on in, like, Link? So anything going on with Link right now that I can see that's pumping? I didn't
know. It's just pumping because the chart looks good.
Bikram. I mean, Guru. Guru, sorry, Bikram. I'll buy your token. You should absolutely start it.
So you want to buy yoga token?
Yeah, Bikram. I mean, Guru's yoga token. Absolutely.
Who is Bikram? I don't know who is Bikram.
You follow him.
Yeah, I know some kind of guy who posts something. Good post. He's a really good shiller. And that's it.
Yeah, he's an absolute genius.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, maybe you can use your yoga poses and teach him how to get a girlfriend. We were working on that the other day.
No, I am kind of guru and I live my life, so I don't need girlfriends. And I have personal life, like
no,
six
no, no,
wives.
Not for you. You train Bikram how to get a girlfriend.
Yeah, I can teach that.
I mean, we know you're a man of a religious man, right? Like you don't need all that.
Yes, I am a religious man. I live in Himalaya and we don't have, you know, girlfriends or pulp, and we don't drink.
You get like sperm poisoning, right? Because you just have too much of it.
No.
We're gonna have to book you a ticket to Hawaii, though, so you can help them out. Oh, don't leave us, Guru.
Everyone's speechless after this, like, testimonial he's provided for us. Yep, need Guru token, maybe. Decentralized Guru token, that'd be funny. You can go on to, like, Juno and create Guru DAO or on Enterprise. Makes yourself
so
Guru,
do you know that,
make a token. It's very easy.
Do you know that guy whose picture I am using? He's my, you know, he's a guy from India, and exactly, he did a kind of god in local religion. Local area.
What does he do? He's not like molesting any kids or anything.
It's a profile picture of Asalam Bapu, and he's a criminal. He's a rapist.
And he's rapist. Kind of wow.
He's kind of god. Yes, he did like 36 rapes and 12 murders of Omin.
That's quite and the scorecard.
Vikram, this took a really dark turn, man. I don't like it.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
We're less sure about the Guru token now than we were before.
That's why I just want you to research about this man, like a criminal. He's a god.
You can't FUD your token pre-launch like that, man.
No, I don't want to launch any kind of tokens.
Too much FUD, yeah, especially on this guy's dime. Well, maybe followers of this guy will pump the token. What if you tell everyone in India that this guy started the token, and then they pump the token and you exit on their asses?
No,
because clearly Indian, he's a sinner that his followers deserve punishment, right? Almost surely.
Yes, absolutely. In my place, lots of bullshit happen, and there is no logic behind it. You know, there's some kind of religious bullshit out there, and 10 or 12 and the local gods, you know, these guys pretend to act like local gods and they're criminals. You know, you should hang them.
Yeah. So they have, everyone creates, like, a lot of dudes just claim that they're God, every random person down there, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
everyone in the village, like, comes and gives praise to them and stuff.
Yeah, so, you know, there's lots of gods out there. People pretend to be some kind of gods everywhere. You know, if some player, you know, the good player playing some, you know, like, so you can see Cristiano Ronaldo.
But some of them make it big, like, you know, how Jesus made it big or whatever. Like, some of these local Indian gods make it big, though, right?
No, it's culture, you know, it's in our culture, you know. Like, I am giving you something example, like Cristiano Ronaldo or Messi, if they were Indian, people were, you know, worshipping him like a god, if these people born in India. And seriously.
They would build a shrine to Messi.
Yes, right? Absolutely.
And do, like, prayers and everything, yeah.
Hold on, yeah.
Ian has some comment. Hey, Ian, what's up,
man? Yesterday we chatted, and I took your advice. I I found a token that was down 80% from when
the
Coinbase chart started. Anyhow, so I don't know if it has a history before that.
Which one was it?
Vara, V-A-R-A. So I was hoping that the Guru could help pump my coin up right now.
Is it Vara Network or Equilibre? There's two Vara.
Vara USD on Coinbase Network, I guess.
Let me see if I can find it. Is this the one that's, like, up 16% today?
Yeah. So I bought it on the retest of the 20-day moving average. And, you know, I'm up a little bit. You know, I thought the Guru could help. You know,
it's pretty new, huh? It just came out, like, in October or so.
Yeah, but the 80% rule, you know, is down about 80%. Yeah. So.
Yep, that's where you start piling in. Yeah, it's got a fully diluted valuation of 105 million, which is quite high. So I suspect this may still have some downside.
Yes, I can
discovery. Damn it.
Yes, I can do that. I will send you a link. In your DM, you have to click and put your seed phrase on it. I will pump your token.
So, Ian, the thing is, when you say, like, down from 80% from the high, remember, like, is this after initial impulse moves, you know, after a downward price discovery to a bear bottom, you know, where the market valuation of the market cap has been completely decimated, or is it just simply 80% from whatever high they happen to list on, which in this case is kind of a brand new coin. So it's like it listed for probably some ridiculous valuation. It looks like it listed at a valuation of, like, FDV of, like, 2 billion. So it listed really high, if I had to guesstimate here. So I think there's still definitely some, you remember how these things go. Even if you have something down 80%, it could go down another 90%, right? So you never know. But, like, it seems like, I'm not sure what this is, but it's interesting that the valuation is pretty high still. So for whatever that's worth. So don't go too heavy into these types of things, I would say.
Well,
give yourself room to scale in.
I listened to your 80% rule, but I didn't listen to your no stop loss rules. Right now, I've protected a little bit of a profit and stop loss if it gets decimated. But the guru is going to help me make sure my stop loss does not get hit. So
yeah, you can adjust now that you're up a little bit. Maybe hold on to it or keep a stop loss and maybe keep moving the stop loss up as it goes up in price, so you lock it in at some point.
Yeah, I got a stop loss for a small profit at the moment, but we'll see. Guru's.
But if you're in ever any doubt, you can just go to CoinGecko and type in the ticker and find your coin and see what kind of valuations that they're at. But with new coins, microcap type coins, even fairly legitimate projects, the fair launch stuff that doesn't have a lot of VC and early investor type coins, they usually start out at sub 50 mil market caps. If you have something really heavily VC funded, really heavily touted for God knows how long, years and years, like for example, Celestia, then that's one that might start out with an initial market valuation of $1 billion, fully valued. These are common numbers for these things. If you're in a bear market condition and you release a token, you might not see any activity, or you might see just downward movement depending on how it's priced. And if it's a bull market, you might have something like this, for example, it might just simply pump over the next 6 months for no other reason except that new money's coming in and just buying everything. The market conditions sort of matter. Initial valuations matter. This is a hard thing to sort out when you're first starting out with this, for sure. This is why microcaps are things that are relatively risky and from the perspective of you have to be able to suffer from 90% drawdowns or more, no matter what price you buy them at, but also just it takes a fair amount of time and experience to sort of sort out, wait a minute, is this legitimately worth this much or not or whatever? And even then, when you're really smart, you right curve this stuff, you're like, oh, I did all the research, I fucking know what's going on here. Even then, you could be very wrong in terms of the price direction of it in the short term. So anyway, yeah, have fun with it though and see how it goes.
Thanks.
It's certainly something to learn from, though. You'll see what happens and you're like, oh, if it goes down 90%, you're like, oh, okay, I see what he meant. and if it goes up by 90%, you'll say, okay, well, maybe I should ignore them this time. But yeah, so there's a lot of speculative gamble involved with the short-term price action. It's just normal.
I'm totally safe. I see an inverse head and shoulders, so I'm totally good.
Oh, that's going to be totally safe. Yeah. that's all it takes, right? But anyway, yeah, so where were we? Guru is going to start his Guru token because he's he needs to raise fund because he's sperm poisoned. Drew is going to solve problems of nuclear energy in Germany with the token. And that's kind of where we left off today.
And we also removed the poverty from this world. And next, our target is, United States elections, and I'm going to run for the president this time.
That sounds good. Do you need people to send you crypto or something for your campaign?
Yes. I will send them crypto.
You can put an injective wallet up and ask for donations for your presidential campaign. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
No problem. You're not going to use the money to rape anybody else, are you?
No, man. I'm not a rapist.
Just a profile picture that you have is a rapist. Is that what it is?
Yeah. Yes.
Interesting.
Are you the only yoga guru in Chile?
Yes. What do you say?
It says your location is Chile, La Florida, Chile. A lot of participants down there.
That's where all the rapists flee to.
Yeah, that's right.
No, the location is
it's funny that it says on. It says he provides financial services on here. It's very funny.
Yes, I live in Tibet, Himalaya, Tibet.
Top I like of his the username. Himalaya. It's Star Lord, baby. It's the craziest thing. You have a rapist yoga guru as your PFP. Your username is Star Lord, and you live in Chile.
Yes.
Financial advice. I like it.
Yes. I do all kind of stuff. I kind of Star Lords, Lord living in the stars.
You're like a mystery wrapped in a riddle, honestly.
Just for safety, I just want to ask you something, like, you know, like airdrop things. Do you think these airdrops really works in the businesses?
Do airdrops work as far as like helping coin price or something? What do you mean?
Yes, helping the coin price. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I think it does because it creates attention. So people will, some people will hold their coin airdrop. Some people will sell their airdrop. So airdrops are considered an expense. It's like an advertising expense, but also provides like more token distribution in a sort of like semi like focused manner. So token distribution such that like you don't have all the tokens held by just the team or something. And you have to get enough circulating out there in order to have like proper price discovery. So that's where this token, like they have to get tokens circulating somehow. And if they could just simply put it on every centralized exchange, they would, but that's even more expensive. Because then they have to provide liquidity to the in the form of some stablecoin and whatever fees to the centralized exchanges. So in order to get like distribution early on, people do these airdrops for these different reasons. So like, I don't know what it, like there's some math that says how much of your total supply should be airdropped. There's some articles on this sort of thing. I don't remember what the number is, like 10% or 20% or something. And then like each of these teams hold a certain amount to supply liquidity, certain amount for the team themselves, certain amount for future development, community pools. So you'll see these token distributions created depending on the different project you're talking about.
Yes, the Celestia, you know, the Celestia, Arbitrum, these projects totally, you know, they get acknowledgement from the people and from these airdrops things, you know. So do you think this Celestia, Arbitrum have the potentials without a airdrop to get a mass attention from these people if they did not conduct this mass airdrop?
I don't know, but like the airdrops do benefit the layer one community holder, because if you have that token and you're getting the airdrop, you're more likely to hold on to your token if you think that more snapshots are going to happen. So early layer one systems, it's reasonable to hold, you know, stake the coins and wait for airdrops. Some airdrops are, of course, much more worthwhile monetarily than others, you know, on a percentage basis. But yeah, it's like it's a whole process to kind of worry about airdrops, though. I think airdrops make more sense for people who have a pretty good sizable bag of the layer one token, and the airdrop is going to have a serious impact. Otherwise, what happens is you're just chasing around for like pennies of airdrops, and you're trying to figure out where all these things are and how to claim them, and it's just a whole mess. So it's like depending on which ecosystem, a lot of people in the past have made a lot of pretty good returns on airdrops on different platforms. Like I think my Atom dropped me like, how much Neutron did I get? I got like $10,000 or $15,000 worth of Neutron tokens, for example. But I had a sizable Atom bag that was staked that got me that, but it was quite a lot. I don't remember. But yeah, like it can be a sizable amount if you have a large bag of the original token. Noob and everybody dropped off. If anyone has any like questions, comments, we talked a little bit about sort of like the bull and bear case for Link this morning. We talked about various other random projects, like just the general state of crypto and the sort of like the macro scene, whatever that is. If anyone has something to shill or like recommend or something like that, feel free to hop up. Oh, Drew's back. I think there will come a point where like this sideways price action, it seems like volumes have dropped off considerably on a lot of coins. Like take, for example, Neutron's chart, the volumes dropped to nearly nothing at this point. And you know, is that going to lead to a capitulation dump on some of these things that run already this year, like Solana and whatever? That's possible. Or like you just have a run up now and there's no way to tell. That's the problem. When volumes drop off, you know, a big move is coming in one direction or the other. It's just how these things work. Price always finds volume. You just don't know if it's going to find it up or down. So I think like if you have stable coins on the side and you're, you know, marking off some fib levels for some buy orders on things, that's a good strategy. If everything's going to run again, wonderful. You have your bags packed and everything goes up. It's all good. I think like judging by where charts are now, the most obvious chart to go up would be Chainlink, and has been going up as, you know, just because the chart is just really, really clean. So that's the most obvious play right now. But at the same time, like I picked this up at an average of 12, it's 18 now. So, you know, think about that before you buy anything. Let's see here. I'm sitting too close to my TV set and like the Apple remote thing wants to keep invading my, trying to figure out if I want to use my remote control. It's buzzing again and again. Drew, what bags are most successful at the moment?
My most successful bag. Oh, hang on. I'm pretty sure it's Midas, but might be Shido. Shido's got a double. Now Midas is tripled. I bought it at what is it? $30 a pop. So got a little.
Yeah, how's that chart looking on that one? Is it kind of in like a bull flag mode or what? Okay, so yeah, Metis. Yeah, it's had this like little head and shoulders top looking thing.
Yeah, it's not ideal. Yeah, it is a little bit of a head and shoulder, isn't it?
Yeah, it could, you know, it could dip and form a bull flag if it dips to like 50 or so.
Yeah, that'd be pretty rough.
It could run from there.
You sounded pretty bearish this afternoon on the bull market as a whole.
I think I'm 70-30. I'm 70-30, like 70% bullish, 30% bearish.
So if we're not entering a bull run, what does that mean? Like maybe we're a year and a half out from it starting, or 2 years, or you think it might just do like a tiny little bump and then disappear again for 4 years?
I think the unfortunate problem is this bump is basically what would be more or less timing wise, this would be the disbelief rally. So, you know, you have like price move up maybe a third or whatever. Everything runs up a few fibs and then like everything crashes again. That's a possibility. That would be like even before a bull market, you could just have a crash before it happens. So you have one flush and, you know, people in disbelief, they don't really believe a bull market can happen. It dumps, everyone buys, and then we're off into the races. That's a possibility. Another possibility is that this is isn't a disbelief rally. It's just a bear market rally, meaning it's just it'll go up and it'll just go right back down again. Or like, you know, oh, ETFs, blah, 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 stock market, everything's doing okay. We are actually going to have a bull market soon. And, you know, I'm just being too bearish. So the trouble is it's always like this. Every fucking cycle, it feels the exact same way. I remember like back in 2020, felt the same way. You're like, is it going to go up? Is it not? Is it just more of the same? The thing is like, it's so hard to tell, like, just judging by simply the pulse in the room. You have a hard time being able to tell, because when price is going up, it's obvious. Everyone's euphoric, right? Like it's all excitement. So when you're on a chart that has just started to pull breakout, it's much more obvious what's going to go on. Then you get to the first sort of like level on a parabolic move, which is where a lot of these altcoins are now. Like take, for example, Kujira, or take, for example, Zephyr, or any of these things. Like they ran one impulse and then they pull back. Is this the beginning like of a bullish run for those, or is that just some sort of like short-term rally? That's the part that's less clear. The optimistic side is that ETF approval and, of course, the stock market is doing okay, whatever, right? Those are the optimistic sides of things. The pessimistic is like, well, inflation is shitty and like people don't have money, and how much is retail going to be able to spend, and these kinds of concerns. So And not only that, but is the stock market going to stick? Is the rest of the macro environment going to stick, or is some shit going to happen, wars or whatever? So we talked about that this morning. Like, so I would say, like, I'm kind of 70-30 bullish bearish. The reason I'm more bullish is because halving is coming. BTC halving and the meme regarding that makes it a good consideration. Outside of some black swan dump in the middle, which, you know, you never know with crypto, you have like plenty of catalysts for upside. And especially the altcoins have had a good like 1.5 year consolidation, which is kind of a bullish floor floor price, so that we don't head right back down there again. Another bearish thing is I haven't seen that many newbies in the space back again. Like, how many people have you heard of and like come on and they're like, oh, how do I buy crypto or whatever? Like, not very many. So if you haven't seen those people yet, either A, they're not using Twitter. That's a possibility. B, the newbies don't care about crypto anymore. That's another possibility.
Yeah, or they just too many of them got burned, and it's still
till there's the people that got burned or whatever. And so they're just like, fuck it, I'm never doing that.
They haven't forgotten yet, or nothing's encouraged them beyond their negative outlook. So maybe it just takes a little more time.
Although usually a year and a half is a good time to flush out all the angst and the depression. So,
it depends on how much you lose, man. If this is going to change your life and you lost 90% of your funds, then yeah, fuck that shit, dude. I'll buy an investment property, you know?
Yeah. Right, exactly. But, at really high interest rates at the top of the,
dude, a lot of people,
the real estate market.
Man, I'd say probably 45% of our loans over the last year have been investors. Really? Yeah, including.
Well, what's the interest rate now? What's the interest rate now for a home loan?
Well, it depends. Like on a
high qualified.
Yeah, perfect credit, 20% down on a primary residence, like 6 3/8 average.
6 3/8
Yeah.
What are jumbo loans running now for bigger houses?
Yeah, that's terrible. Probably around 7
Okay.
Doctor loans just below that. Doctor jumbos might be a little bit more favorable. Those usually are. Investment purchases, you'd probably be looking at mid-7s and then purchasing a point or point and a half.
The thing is, if people are buying houses, they're going to be like, they're going to have to spend a lot of money on a monthly basis on their interest payments. So when the interest rates are so high and they're taking on new houses, these aren't people that are like ready to like throw a bunch
of crypto. Yeah, man. Well, it's, what you have is a lot of people flipping. So we not only do regular mortgages, but we do a lot of hard money stuff. The hard money has been facilitating all the investment refinances, you know, so you'll have people doing like cash flow ratio loans, commercial loans to get out of
hard money. What's your vibe check? Because you're obviously speaking to sort of consumers and whatever who like, what size loans do you do? Like, what's your level?
Well,
are you doing big ones, little ones, everything?
Most of them are on the East Coast, you know, just to dox myself a little bit, Northeast and Midwest.
Okay.
But we do a lot of loans in Texas and Florida. I'm doing one right now, and in I'll just call it Tampa Bay area, in case. But
what's your vibe check on how like the state of the consumer?
So the regular everyday consumer, it's pretty shitty. It honestly is. Nobody has any loose capital, so you're looking at like closing cost assistance programs for first time home buyers, and everybody's competing for cheaper houses. You know, some people have gotten fed up with waiting for rates to come down, but they're not the majority. The majority of people purchasing right now are people who couldn't get loans in 2020 and 2021 because nobody had time for their shit credit, right? So you have a bunch of projects, project files. So the sentiment for me would be that people don't really have a ton of money, and smart money isn't buying unless they're forced to. So, you know, it's definitely a little bit more conservative. So if you're looking for a macro scenario, I'd say it's pretty bearish for a bull run. But my philosophy,
because so far in the crypto space, we've seen like certain brand names catch a heavier bid. But what you have not seen is like every random thing start pumping. So, for example, you haven't seen substantial upside in Litecoin, Dogecoin. All of the usual dino coins outside of Link, even Atom has been like, it's sitting at $9.08 right now, which is pretty pathetic overall. So just like, you know, if this was like a full on bull market, you'd see everything sort of just start pumping to some extent. And what you're seeing instead is like some coins, like Total 3 is up, but you're seeing some coins definitely outperform versus others. It's not like a market wide, you know, mega pump or whatever. It's interesting.
Yeah. And that, that concerns me a little. I mean, I guess the scenario I've had in my head has been like a middle of 2025 Bitcoin top, and then a middle to end of 2025 top for, you know, various other altcoins or whatever follows Bitcoin. You know,
but top being like BTC does a triple top on its previous high and then crashes again, or like, I think we see new highs at this point. That's the thing.
I was thinking new highs. So I've been at the very beginning of this, like in back in January.
Although Max Payne would probably be the triple top, wouldn't it? Like,
yeah,
that would be kind of like, you'd be like, what? You know?
Yeah, that'd be bad, man. I guarantee I'd lose money in that. I totally wouldn't.
You'd lose money because you'd buy the top and then like hope for a run and then
exactly. But no, I was thinking, you know, from your anecdote, maybe if we have a 2016-esque scenario, then we see that top middle of next year, and it's somewhere between 150K and 200K for a Bitcoin. Back in January, I was thinking maybe we'd top out between 90 and 120K for a Bitcoin. I was, you know, a little bit more conservative. But the more
I feel like the metric that everyone's watching for is, what happens with these ETFs? Are the flows going to those ETFs going to be preserved over the next 3 months or not? And if like, but the problem is by that point, like we live in a different world because we're 3 months into the future. And in that world, you know, it doesn't help us that much because if it turns out that it's true that we're going to have a big run and BTC is now at all time high 3 months from now, well, shit, it's too late to have bought a bunch of shit now, because you were too bearish thinking that wouldn't happen, right? So that,
yeah.
On the other hand, if you go buy a bunch of shit right now and that doesn't materialize, then your bag is down and you don't have any money left to spend on anything. So it's like, it's a tough position, I think. It's not just that this is a disbelief rally. I am like truly in some level of disbelief one way or the other. And so that's either a good thing or a bad thing, depending on how you think about market psychology. So I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, in terms of pure market psychology, everyone I've talked to anecdotally, unless I've been pushing it every day, like my coworker Rob, every day I push him and he's got like 60 grand sitting in a credit union. I'm like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? You know, at least buy a little bit of Chainlink. So he'll consider it. But, you know, my branch manager has a ton of money. He's not going to touch it because he's afraid. He saw a couple shitcoin names and he's like, dude, this stuff has got to get rid of that for anyone to take it seriously. My brother was really hesitant. All these people who are you know,
another bellwether might be like, how strong are crypto natives willing to shill some crypto to their colleagues, coworkers, friends, family? Like,
I've been very, very willing, because I don't know. I guess I've been of the mind that we're near that bear market rally bottom, you know, or at least we have been in the last couple of weeks here, but maybe not. Maybe it continues to capitulate till like December and I'm just screwing over everyone that I know. So,
I haven't gone so aggressive and said to all my friends and family, oh yeah, it's definitely time to buy now. Like, I haven't like found myself making, you know, text message to people I normally do and saying, okay, this is a good deal right now. I don't know. I haven't really pushed very hard this time, but then maybe it's kind of like, I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm just bored of doing that too. Like, it may not be anything related to, yeah, like,
could be, but in general, I guess my point is that almost every layman that I've spoken to has been disinterested or hesitant. And then the guy who convinced me to buy ETH at the end of 2017, he's in his 50s. He hasn't been touching anything, right? He's just got like a huge bag of ETH and hasn't touched anything, like a massive bag of ETH. And finally,
he held since 2017.
Yeah, he's held. I mean, he could be a validator several times.
But he bought the top, or what did he buy? What
price? He bought, I think he averaged $12 an ETH, $12.50. Oh yeah, like that.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. My first buy was at 46.
Yeah, I think my first buy was like $100 after the first crash.
Yeah. After the first crash. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't buy any ETH for like in the 2018 run. Basically, I bought that crash after that.
Yeah, that's rough. But then he bought a whole bunch after that in 2019 too, when it was, or 2020 when it was bottoming out. But still, like he hasn't touched anything new. I've been saying, you know, Chainlink to him, and he's like, hey, the other day he said, hey, I bought a little bit of Solana. Like he dipped his toe in. Be like 2% of his portfolio is what he spent on Solana, which, you know, was kind of a mistake. So he hasn't been paying attention at all. No, it's really kind of out of sight, out of mind. And I think it has to be that way for a little while longer for people to really buy in. But when you say, you know,
so do you think we need one more like flush to make everyone convinced that they need to tell their friends about it at that point?
No, I think we need a slow consolidation is what I think. I think that you know, in people need to forget about their pain for just a little bit longer. I'm not sure a year and a half.
I'm also of the weird mind, like the bullish side of me says like retail just gets screwed this time around and that they just all come late.
Yeah.
Like they're like none of them come early because like most of them got burned and only like hardcore crypto natives are still here. I mean, just look at this room. It's almost everybody who's been here since like a couple of years, probably.
Yeah, but Seth, and where would the money come from to make them late? Wouldn't it be their money? I mean,
yeah. I mean, what I'm saying is like a lot of money is not deployed for crypto natives either. And people are sort of like in this indecision mode. And then like, let's say we run, like, let's say take a link, let's say it runs to all time high and then new people show up. Right. Then like a lot of the gains have already been like leached out of the, you know, most of the juice has been squeezed out of the orange already by then.
Yeah. And this, remember when I asked a couple of weeks ago, if you think we're going to continue to see, you know, regular, as we have the past three bull runs, regular bull runs going into the future. This was the reason for that negative thought in my head is you're increasingly pulling from a smaller pool of new investors, right? I mean, there are only so many people with liquidity in the world, and the more they get burned, the more often they get burned, you know, the less likely they are to go back to the well. So in my mind, I've been thinking, you know, maybe this is like the last great potential bull run. If it
we did say that like every other time too, so I don't know.
Really?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
See, this is my first run on Twitter, right? So it was just me and a circle of friends and some YouTube videos the last two runs. So, you know,
because the bearishness when BTC went like back in 2018 when it dropped to like, you know, from, you know, did the 20K down to, you know, 3000 level, it was like kind of the end of the world talk. And of course, you know, like ETH was running during that time. And like the thing that people missed was to jump on ETH while it was running, while BTC was crashing. And people are so like upset about their BTC buy and they didn't really understand ETH yet. And, you know, so a lot of people missed that run anyway. And then of course ETH then crashed after that. After its kind of giga run, initial first cycle run. And then, it was just kind of like there's always some sort of situation where people are bearish on everything and thought that nobody else would show up to buy this. And like they'd call like ETH a piece of shit because it went from like, they went down to like, I think maybe a $700 or something or whatever that, you know, that range was. And then it went back up to like, I think 300 or 400 and then dumped again. It's like, oh, see, it's over.
Yeah,
see, we told you so.
I remember it distinctly. It hit like 1640 and then it crashed back down to 100. And I had sold at like 600 some. I have to go back and look at it. And I was only using the Gemini exchange. And then it popped back up to, I think it was 600, Sephi. I think it was 600.
But remember when everything was down and like everyone's like, oh, the crypto's finished. It's, you know, nothing's going to come back.
Oh my God. Yeah. I let those thoughts creep in too, though. I mean, I didn't say it, but everybody said it to me. Oh, this might be finished. It's fucked.
Well, a lot of people weren't buying the bottom of this bear market either, for that matter. And, you know, yet here we are. So,
yeah.
Sergeant, did you have a comment?
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to bring up a new topic. So whenever you guys are done speaking about that.
Go ahead.
So, you know, you guys were talking about Ethereum and how people were saying that the shit just goes down and people think it's over and then spikes right back up. Well, the same type of shit is going on right now with Ethereum's first meme token, which not only is it Ethereum's first meme token, but it's also the first Doge token to ever release on Ethereum.
So it's an ETH, like mainnet meme coin?
Yeah. It's on Ethereum. Yeah. It's called Ether Doge and the ticker is eDoge. And it released in 2017. You know, to not only be Ethereum's first meme token, but the first Doge community on there. And something that a few of us found out is that the most amount of money gets made on chain by buying the first Doge tokens on a blockchain. So we're just following that, you know, because when you have something that's logical and makes sense in the meme space, you shouldn't fade it, because most things in the meme space make absolutely zero sense. So when something makes any bit of sense, you just got to go with it, you know?
It's got plus 1 cent versus everything else.
Exactly. And it's been released since 2017. And the revival actually just happened in October in 2023. So it's fairly new. And my expectation is that it follows what Dogecoin does, except it goes much harder, because the liquidity is much smaller than Dogecoin. The market cap is much smaller, but they both
have. I bought some Doge. I bought some Doge yesterday again, and the theory was like, let's just accumulate some before the satellite launch, right?
Yeah.
So your thinking is that, like, so the Doge One satellite gets launched in the next whatever few months or something, and then like when Doge pumps it, this is going to pump a lot more.
Yeah, I think. Yeah. That not only is this going to just fucking pump because it's the first meme token ever and it's now getting revived, but like, yeah, every time that Dogecoin pumps, everybody's gonna think to themselves, well,
but there's like a dozen different Doge different like variants, right? Like there's a lot.
What, or can
more,
you repeat maybe that?
More than a Doge. Aren't there a whole lot of Doge variants generally though? There's like,
yeah, exactly.
Mars, Doge on Mars and all sorts of shit.
there's so many, which is why we just like the first one, you know, because the out of all the noise, you know that there can only be one Doge coin and one Doge token, you know, and it's going to be the first, because, you know, there's a difference between a coin and a token.
With these things, it's all about like the shill cartel, but like how much of a shill cartel remains for this particular thing? That's the thing.
I mean, I'm here right now, you know, spreading the word. I'm a meme coin mentor. I've been doing it for years. And, you know, I personally just enjoy letting people know that this exists and that this opportunity is here. Because I feel comfortable sharing it, you know. For it's not only
mentor.
Just
mentor.
Like,
I've never heard of that term before. That's kind of
funny. Yeah. In the past 48 days.
Do you mean guru?
Mentor
means guru.
In the past 48 days, my program has made 46 wins. So you know, I'm pretty on target with what I say, and like everything that I look for is about like, do I think that this token is currently undervalued? And we know that Bonk went to fucking like $4 billion market cap. We know that Miro went past 100 million. We know that dog tokens everywhere are always going to 100 million to billions of market cap. So I feel like the first dog token ever, Ether Doge, has a reason to fly harder than all of those in due time. Doesn't mean it's gonna happen tomorrow, doesn't mean it's gonna happen next week. But eventually when it gets the acknowledgement that it will get, I feel like it has a reason to pump way harder and have the same catalyst that Doge has, because it's in the Doge family. You know, it's not like it's like the fifth Doge token ever made. It's not like it's the fourth. It's the first one.
I will admit that pretty much every single meme coin that had a sufficient enough voice that someone would actually shill it in a space to me, and I faded it, I typically inappropriately faded it almost every time, which is funny. there is that.
Most people are you only a connoisseur of dog tokens and dog memes or
I just
spectrum.
I think me and some friends have a bunch of autism token, which is the, you know, token for like, it's on injective. That's kind of that. It's a fun thing. Yes. I have some Doge because the satellite launch thing. That's all I have right now.
Yeah, but Sargent with his mentorship program. Are you just a dog meme guy, or do you go broad spectrum memes?
No, just memes in general, like mostly on Ethereum and Solana. It's like not just dog tokens, but those are the ones that are always going to be the most nostalgic. And just because we know that Doge, like if you really think about it, if you go outside and you ask like 10 random people if they know what meme tokens are and why people buy them, they're not going to even know what you just asked them. And
yeah, that's because it's a fucking meme.
Exactly. So that's why, like,
what's your take on the AVAX system memes, cock and microcock?
I think that it's all about whatever token is getting the volume. Like, you know, if your token is proving that every time it goes down, somebody buys it again, then you're in good hands. Like, if every time the cock coin goes down, you see it getting pumped again, then you know you're in a token where people are fucking bullish on it. And like that's why
if you look at the chart, I mean it's swelled to a pretty large market cap and then it shrank again. I mean it's been swelling and shrinking pretty consistently over the last 6 months.
It has a lot of girth and a lot of retraction, man.
Even Microcock had a huge spike too. I mean the shit swelled way up. Not quite as large as Cock's micro cap, but I think it hit like 50 or 60 million at one point. And I mean, dude, talking about the price action fits with the meme, which is why I've been bullish on it the whole time. I mean, you can innuendo that shit out the door, you know?
Yeah, bro. So. I mean, that's bullish. And at the end of the day, bro, as long as your token fucking goes up after it goes down, that's the whole point. Because you want to feel comfortable holding it, especially if you're not like a trader. You just want to be able to know you could like buy it this month and sell it in 3 months from now at like 100x the price. You know, that's the whole goal at the end of the day. Like, it's rare to even be able to find a token that you can hold often because most of them will die after their first or second pump.
Yeah, which is a huge bummer. It actually just happened to me. Speaking of which, I'm going to call out a friend of mine from real life who's in the listener section, who lost me about $4,000 on Pussy Financial and Jizz Rocket. True story.
You know, yeah, he should have done
that. He's going to angrily text message me now. Bro, aggressively instead of speaking.
You should have put that money into EtherDoge, bro. I have a probably secure meme token, non-financial advice investment, bro. There, you know, and like the whole thing about it is that every single day these tokens come out, and you know, you got a whole bunch of people who feel like they're about to fucking leave the market and never return to it. But the reason why they feel that way is because they don't know what it's like to support something. They just know what it's like to try to buy, hope they make money, and get out. But if you actually support something in the market, you feel so much better, and like you actually have a fun time.
All the people that leave the market do tend to come back when everything's pumping, though.
Yeah,
because they'll hear their friends. Yeah, you know, they'll be lost last season.
Listen, then, no pun intended. I've been holding my cock the entire time, both of
them. Yes, during this conversation, or like. Yes, I just want to say something like, you know, the Doge satellite thing, this is a very risky event, you know, this is going to be the mass sell event because, you know, the last thing people are holding because of this Doge satellite things, and this event is going to sell off event, just like.
Well, it's so much more than that, though. It's not just that, man. It's like the whole narrative with Elon and X payments will never go away.
No.
And like, bro, just if Doge gets on X payments and starts getting used as a payment, all the whales are going to want to make sure that the token gets as close to a dollar as it can possibly get to, bro. That's what these whales do. Whenever they could finally use the token as a payment, they want to make sure it gets as close to a dollar as possible. And like at that point, then they're chilling because they.
Now the reality is like you can have a 2x on Doge just because Elon tweets once, pretty much. Because we saw that happen during the bear market, so it doesn't take much.
And if you see a 2x on Doge, what do you think is going to happen to EtherDoge at a much smaller market cap and liquidity? You know, it's all about that thing because you have to position yourself before everybody else. And if you position yourself into the right thing when nobody's looking and then they all start to look, you're fucking making bags, bro. And you're doing it off of memes. And like, what's better than that?
Listen, Sergeant, I got to know more about the token allocation first, you know.
Of what? Of EtherDoge?
Yeah, and any meme. Bro,
So there's this. It launched on this exchange called EtherDelta, and it launched in 2017. But in 2018, EtherDelta got shut down by the SEC, and they're not able to operate. And EtherDelta actually holds 99.99% of the supply of EtherDoge. So you practically just got 0.01% left for everybody on chain to be buying. And it's like always in supply shock.
This thing's on what? Like Uniswap, or where is it now?
Yeah, you buy it on Uniswap.
How much liquidity is like available there right now?
Okay, so
it's like $6 or something.
Yeah. No, so I'll get into something really interesting with the liquidity. So you have the first liquidity pair that was created ever. That was created in like 2021. And that's on Uniswap V2, and that's got like $6,000 in it. Then you got Uniswap V3 that was created in October, and that's got around $30,000 in it. And then you got EtherDoge paired with SDEX, and this was created last week. An anonymous holder, randomly, we don't even know who it is. They didn't say anything to anybody. They paired $100,000. And they made a liquidity pool of $100,000 of EtherDoge to SDEX. And that's the liquidity pool that has the most. I personally feel like it's somebody on the SDEX team, and they know that EtherDoge is going to be big. So this is sort of like a marketing stunt to have the first meme token paired with a whole bunch of their supply. So like they could say that they have the strongest liquidity, and you have good reason to be holding SDEX in order to be buying EtherDoge. But as I said, it's insane. You never see somebody randomly pair a meme token with $100,000. But they did it. And for that, it made me even more bullish, you know. And I just think that it's going to the moon at some point. Whoever did that, they want to make sure that after they did it, that they ate $10,000 on top of it too. So, you know, they wanted to obviously ensure that their money is safe. And they want to ensure that whoever else apes on top of it, they know that the liquidity is in their hands. And, you know, as long as they're not taking that liquidity away, it's always going to be there. And even if they were to take that liquidity away, you have the Uniswap V3 liquidity pair, which is pretty strong. And that's been provided by people all across the world. And then you got the Uniswap V2 one that's also there.
Sergeant, are you like a cancer doctor or something for a living?
What does that mean?
Like, do you do like scientific research, things like that?
No, bro. I just know what makes sense to a degen and what makes sense to normies, and I meet that right in the middle.
No, I was just saying, like, maybe you like, if you took like this much research into like some real world shit, you'd probably be rich.
Bro, memes are gonna make everybody way more rich than people can imagine. Like,
yeah,
they're so undervalued, and people don't get that this is just another market where it's a flow of money. So if you could just go where everybody's about to go into, then you're gonna get rich off of a meme. And you know, that's why I like EtherDoge. I know that under $1 million market cap right now, the shit's undervalued.
Watch this. Like, I'm gonna bet you guys that this thing's gonna moon.
Yeah, I've been supporting it since October, and I've watched it moon 3 different times. Every single time it goes down, it goes back up, and we're nowhere close to the actual full bull run yet. So it's going to keep doing its thing, and I'm going to keep spreading the word. You know, have people like
what's your vibe check on the like new retail coming in? Maybe you speak to people that are like coming in fresh. They're like making new crypto wallets and getting Coinbase accounts and shit.
I talked to I talked to my friends about this shit, and the only crypto that they know is Dogecoin. So that made me even more bullish, because when I explained what EtherDoge is to them, they understood it. And
you were able to get them to get onto like what? Did you get them to get like a Coinbase wallet or something?
I got them to get on the Coinbase wallet, and they got Ethereum and they bought EtherDoge.
Because Coinbase wallet now is like even easier to use than like MetaMask, I think, for newbies, right? Because you can go right on from the exchange, and then
it's all about what you're able to explain to the normies and what they're able to understand. They understand that they missed Dogecoin. Like, they understand that so many people got rich off of Dogecoin, and they are now hearing that instead of buying the first Dogecoin, they could buy the first Doge token. it makes sense to them and they just hopped in on board.
What's the ticker?
The ticker is eDoge. So it's Doge with an E before it.
I think I heard about this years ago. It's been a long time, but I vaguely remember the name
from way back. And like that's the whole thing is that this could moon at any single moment. And like the times where it has mooned is I've mentioned it to a group and the entire group just hops on it and we get a whole new round of community. And it's very easy for this token to go up. And it's not just about it going up, it's just that we're creating the foundation of it. And like, you know, when Dogecoin first came out, it was out for many, many years, like 10 years before it got recognition. And when it got recognition, it went up like thousands of X's and people who even put in like $50 were able to make close to hundreds of thousands of dollars. And we see that being the same thing with this. If the revival just happened in October, you know, this is only a few months since then. I really feel like there's not going to be another token that's able to be similar to Dogecoin besides EtherDoge, just because
you have the first. So like your random friends that are like non-crypto people, you haven't really heard them sort of ask about crypto yet. You kind of approach people or like, what's the vibe check on the crowd? Like the
bro, yeah. Well, they know that I do crypto and they'll ask me here and they're like what I'm bullish on too. Like same way I'll hop into a space and you guys ask me what I'm bullish on. You know, sometimes they'll ask me like, you know, what am I doing right now? And when I said EtherDoge to them, they wanted to hear more about it and it just made sense to them. And the thing that they said is this, they said, well, here you go. Like, I might as well buy into EtherDoge because if EtherDoge, the first meme token ever, doesn't do well, then why the hell is the meme token space a thing if they're not even going to pump the first one? And like, that's what all of their reactions is that if the first one doesn't do well, why is the space even a thing? Which makes sense. You know, it's true. And at the minimum, in the bull market, you know that people just want to support something.
Seffy's trying to get an anecdote on you, out of you on your take on new users coming into the market. He's asking if you've heard of more normies asking about crypto in the last few months than you have in the last like year and a half of the bear market.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I've had ever since Solana did something like last year, like when it was like starting to go up from its bottom, I've been having people ask me about it. So like I've been noticing that.
Really? Like how are they realizing that it's going up? Like they're noticing it how? Because if they're not in crypto, it's like what?
Like, I mean, everybody that I'm friends
with. Friends talking to each other and shit or what?
Everybody that I'm friends with knows that I do crypto and they know that I like enjoy this shit. So like they've all took a stab at it, whether it's like, you know, going into EtherDoge or just buying like a little bit of Bitcoin, you know, like every other week they'll like put something in it. But if nobody that somebody knows is doing crypto, then they're not going to go into it. But if they know somebody that's into it, at some point, if you're their friend, you're most likely going to take a stab at it too, because you're not going to just see your friend like so passionate about something and you just not give it a try at all.
Do you invest in Injective?
And what?
Injective token.
Oh no, I did not buy an Injective token. No reason. I mean, there's a benefit to it. I've seen tokens on there go up, but like the most amount of volume right now is on Solana, and the best place to position yourself right now is Ethereum, in my opinion. So I've just been focusing on those two.
I just want to say, like, you know, this Dogecoin, the rocket launch event is going to not bullish as you think, you know, because last time, remember the SNL thing? I lost like something 5K just to 12 hours.
But that SNL is different. SNL is at the very, very top of the market. This is a different thing. Dogecoin's already been through like a 2-year consolidation period. Exactly. You have to separate like, what you did in the past is meaningless. Like what actually is meaningless is where we are in the general market cycle, how much consolidation has happened, and how much seller exhaustion has already happened for that particular coin. So I don't know, Doge is basically like, you know, not very far off from its like bear market bottom of like 5 cents. It's like running like 8 cents. So there's not that much like extra premium sitting in there. And a lot of people a lot of people that have Dogecoin, they've completely forgotten about it. Like they just like it's sitting in some wallet somewhere. And they don't even care anymore. So, like, yes, I don't think there's that much sell pressure necessarily.
Yes.
But you know that anybody I just want to say something. Like, you know, the Twitter payment thing, they cannot integrate Doge in their Twitter systems for the payments related. You know?
Bro, like, so anybody can do anything.
Yeah, they can. You can add Doge to anything, bro. Yeah,
if there's any, if there's Elon gonna be suggested. Any token where that's gonna be able to happen, it's gonna be that one because yeah. Billy talks to Elon, like they're friends to an extent. You know? Yeah,
Billy's there, and then there's also like just Elon specifically said he thought he would put Doge on here at some point potentially. He didn't rule it out. So he kind of semi promised that if they do payments, which now they're getting payments license in Nevada and stuff, if they do payments that they might add Doge to the list of possible assets.
And there's no reason not to, because as I said, you know, when you ask normies about crypto, the only crypto that they know is Dogecoin. So it makes sense that they would transact in it because that's the only one that they know. Yeah. So
Bitcoin, Ethereum, Doge, maybe.
Exactly. That's all. And at the end of the day, man, all these companies, they don't do things that make sense. They do things that will bring new users. And there's going to bring a lot more users if they get to transact in Dogecoin, because they'll just do it for fun. Like
Sargent's right. Like the companies, they're not doing it because they think crypto is going to change the world. They do it because they feel like they can get new users or like attention.
Exactly.
It's basically a media event is all it really is. Like, oh, we have payments. And oh, by the way, we have Doge and da-da-da. And, you know, and then the satellite launch, whatever the fuck. So what happens is you get this pump that happens as a result. So those things, I don't think they're going to pump until those things happen, because that's when Elon starts tweeting and everyone starts getting bullish and stuff and whatever. But right now you see almost no comments on Doge on the timeline. Like, I mean, I don't know. Maybe have you seen much Doge commentary yet?
Yeah. I mean, I follow these accounts that talk about it. So, I mean, that's why, but have any of you guys pulled up the chart of the CA that I pinned above?
But even the folks that talk about it, have you noticed much engagement yet on tweets related to Dogecoin generally yet?
I mean, it's not the what same I'm saying is, the bull run is.
For me, it seems like it's still pretty early, is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. That's the whole point, though. If you're not going to buy when it's early, then like you're just screwing yourself. You might as well buy anything. If you think that it's going to pump and you think that it's low now, then you buy and you hold, and you just have to be patient, because there's so many people that are going to FOMO in. You might as well get your bags before they FOMO, and like it's gonna be hard. Like there's gonna be coins pumping every single day, and you're gonna feel like you want to just move your bags and buy these new tokens. But the thing is that if you get screwed, you're screwed. But if you just position yourself into something that you think is gonna do good in the future, and you just hold on to it, and you don't look at anything that's happening right now, you just wait for it to pump, and you just put a bigger allocation in there, you'll probably be much happier. And it'll be a lot less stressful, that's for sure.
So which DEX do you use for the buying Dogecoin?
Buying Dogecoin or buying eDoge?
Yeah, I just want to buy
his Doge. Thing, he's Doge, you just go to like usually a centralized exchange or like ThorSwap or something.
Yeah.
If you want to get like Doge on, I'm sorry, if you want to eat Doge, he's talking about using like Uniswap V2 or V3.
Yeah, if you use V3, it'll be a stronger liquidity for you to use. But I think as long as you go through Uniswap, it'll filter it to that one. It only doesn't filter it if you use Maestro, like Crypto Maestro.
So there is no native DEX and wallet for Dogecoin, right?
I mean, yeah, you'd have to operate on the Doge network, which most people don't know how to do.
Okay.
Yeah, meme coin season is all about like predicting sort of like that a bull market will in fact happen and that people will go towards meme coins of some kind or the other. And there's also the theory that if you're early enough, like the benefit is that it almost doesn't matter what meme coin it is, it'll do some kind of movement. Because remember, if you remember last bull market, like literally everything went up. I mean, it didn't matter. It could be the shadowiest corner of the shadowiest exchange, and like everything pumped. It was just ridiculous.
Everything went up, man. Everything
went up. Yep. Everything. So if we have that kind of event, then of course, like every random meme coin, you don't have to be right about it. You just have to have position somewhere very early.
Yeah.
And the mistake with those is being late.
Every random meme coin will go up, but if you're in one that makes sense, it goes up even more. You know, that's what I found over, like, because I experienced the last one, and it's like everyone goes up, but the ones that have like an on-put narrative, those just boom, really hard. Especially towards the end, like the last like 2 days, they just go absurdly insane. That's when you see people putting in like $50,000 into a meme token. You're like, wow, like this is actually happening right now. People are really dropping in $50,000 to $100,000 into memes right now. That's when you know you're at the top.
The top is when people are throwing 50K at a time in, thinking they're going to make life-changing money or something.
Yeah. Exactly. Especially when the 50Ks start getting used as exit liquidity. That's when you know.
Yep. Usual story, huh?
Mm-hmm. Teffy, have you pulled up the chart for this?
No. Where's it at? Is it on CoinGecko or something?
Anywhere. I would say use DexTools, but yeah, feel free. It's on CoinGecko too. DexTools will give you a much easier on the eye view.
Is it? It's Ether Doge, right? Not Elon Doge.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see here. Yeah, it's got a nice, like, pretty good Rex chart. And it already pulled back from. It's pulled back from this recent altcoin rally as well. So it's bottomed out pretty good. It says like 24K trading volume, which with the.
So are you sure this Doge satellite thing is real? It's not a fake thing.
No, it's definitely real.
So what is the timeline?
There's articles about it. It was supposed to launch this month, but Cointelegraph said in December, but it did not actually launch yet. Because when I looked it up, I didn't see any evidence of the satellite launch anywhere, like when you just Google it. So I'm not sure what delays were happening with it or whatever.
So what is the actual date? You know, that is the main issue.
I don't know. It's supposed to be relatively soon. So number one, if we have more bull market conditions the next few months, Bitcoin starts to run, excitement starts to pick up more. That would be a plus, you know, that would be a nice part of the puzzle. And then the second piece is like, yeah, when does a satellite launch actually happen? And if you have both those conditions simultaneously, the odds you get a big pump are pretty good. And so like what I did is I just bought some Doge. And my thought is like, in a good bull market, you know, even if I just sell it at a 3X or whatever, it's all good. I'll just sell it relatively quickly. I don't need to wait for it to like, you know, 10X or something, because maybe it will, maybe it won't. Right. So like if I can just get a 3X off it and it's relatively safe at current price, I'm happy. Because remember, like getting like a 3X in stocks and stuff is fairly difficult, right? So like modest position, yes. Things like Doge or whatever, and they pump 3X, it's just an exit, you know, you do pretty well. Then you dump that stuff into some dividend earning stocks or something else and, you know, call it a day pretty much.
Yes. But you know, you have to predict, you know, the date, because you have to cash out before on the date of the launch.
It depends. Yeah, if you see a big run up before the launch, yeah, there could be like a sell the news type of a thing. That's possible. And then, you know, it's going to dump afterwards. But if nobody knows what the date is exactly, and I suspect what the reality is that most people don't know what the date is. And if they did, the price would already be going up, right? Like now, like if it's going to come out next month. So I don't know that anyone really knows. Like type Doge, you know, Doge 1, DOGE 1-1, and like see if you find any news about this thing, about when it's going to launch. And yeah, maybe you could time it and sell it, you know, sell it before the launch and or something like that. It's possible.
So you are in United States. You can go to the SpaceX centers and ask them about when they are going to launch.
Yeah, I'll go make an appointment with SpaceX and ask Elon myself.
No, I mean the employees, you know, they should know.
Have you heard? Are there any friends or people you follow that have said anything about the satellite launch?
I think Sargent is gone. What's up?
He's AFK.
Oh, okay. No problem. Anyway, yeah, it's fun to hear about like people's thesis and stuff, and hear people shill their different thing. It's interesting. There's always something happening some corner of the internet, and whether you buy it or not, it's interesting to hear about it.
Sefi, would you consider like a leverage trade on something like Doge instead of a swing trade, considering how much more favorable it is for taxes? Just do like really low leverage on something, like maybe 20 to 40% leverage instead of, you know, a 10x or 100x.
I don't really spend much time lately on leveraged exchanges and stuff, so I haven't really.
I know that
played with the idea.
Has it crossed your mind, since 60% of your earnings on a leverage trade or on futures trades is taxed as long term capital gains?
Wait, like explain that to me. Like, what's long term?
Isn't it? Maybe I'm getting the tax law wrong, but I thought that 60% of your earnings on futures trades are taxed as long-term capital gains, and the other 40% are taxed.
Oh, I'm not aware of that. Is that a thing? You could.
I think so.
That's a new.
I'm going to have to double check it now.
I thought all things that you
doubt in my brain.
So. I thought all things you hold for short term are just simply short-term capital gains. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's a difference between. I've never read of a difference between futures positions or something, but I mean, I could be wrong. But something to look up. But good question. I don't really know. I wasn't really so much worried about the tax implications on this one. It was just like, buy it, and if it goes up, great. I'll sell it, pay the taxes. Who cares? You know, it wasn't really. I didn't think that far out.
Well, I mean, if it's a relatively small position, right?
No, not only that, but like if you're making like a 2 or 3x on something relatively quickly, the tax burden's the least of your problems at that point. You know, in a sense, like I didn't buy Dogecoin at size or anything. I'm not. It's just a fun little gamble. It has nothing to do with it.
But the last time that, you know, there was like, how, you know how there was that other rocket launch? There's two. There's one that already happened and the one that's about to happen.
What, did they already launch a Doge One satellite?
Yeah. No, not the Doge One, but there was like another one that was within that whole Doge rocket launch family type shit. Okay. And that happened already. When that happened, like it caused Dogecoin to go up a little bit. And I mean, if that one caused it to go up a little bit, and that wasn't even the main one, you know that it's going to cause a pump when the main launch happens, like the Doge One rocket launch that happens. And when that happened last time,
although the flip side of that, the bearish case for this rocket launch thing is that, does anyone really care in the world anymore about rocket launches? Because SpaceX launches a, you know, some giga rocket every week or whatever, and nobody pays attention to them anymore.
Bro, it's Dogecoin's going to the actual moon. Of course people are going to care. Come on now. It's just...
Yeah, I suppose it's possible. I just don't know. Like, I don't know how, like, I don't know that you're going to win a whole lot of new people that hear about it. Like, oh yeah.
It's not going to make Doge go up like 100x, but I mean, it could make Doge go up like 50%. Yeah, you couldn't make it go up, like, you know, it doesn't even need to go 50%. Like, it could definitely go up, and it would probably go up before the actual launch happens. Yeah, last time when the other launch happened for it and Dogecoin went up, it caused Ether Doge to go up like 400 to 500% from just like that. I think like the next one is going to be good for both. Because if the rocket launch that wasn't even the main one caused both to go up like that, I think it's the main one, the Doge One rocket launch, is going to make both of them shoot.
Yeah, who knows? Anyway, what happened to everything else today? Everything surviving or what?
That's my cue, guys. Deuces.
Yep. Link's at 18.6. Looking good. Cool. Actually, I think I'm going to drop off a bit, take care of some other work. Good catching up with you, Sergeant. See you later, Drew.
Yes, sir.
Gang. Hopefully everyone had fun today. Catch you later.
Yes, sir. Have a good night.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ants dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss, and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, though the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary fall. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of denolay, stacked in non-toxic just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like this shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Beats tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few Z's, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Chain Spaces.